Yeah, can you get the UK book? Yeah.
But we were learning that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the first thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, the first expression of creation was a ratzon to create something, to create an environment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was hidden. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a ratzon to be megala himself, he had a ratzon to reveal himself. And it's impossible to reveal oneself unless one is hidden. So it was the first stage of creation, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a ratzon to reveal himself, and that's going to necessitate a metzias, a world, a reality that ke'ilu HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hidden. Ke'ilu HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not there. Of course HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. There's no place Hashem is not. But Hashem wanted a reality that it appears as if he's not there. And the purpose of that reality is that once that's formed, so then man is entrusted with the task to discover HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And discovering HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a gili, and it's a gili of our mitei kachayshich. So kachayshich, darkness, is very much a critical part of Hashem's plan. Darkness facilitates gili, revelation, because it's impossible to have revelation without darkness. So darkness is very important. I'm not sure. Did we talk about the four kings?
Four kings, though.
The four kings that they fought the Melech's Daim?
No.
We didn't. So the first thing Hashem created was Yidkei Vavkei. Hashem created a name. The name of a Kadosh Baruch Hu is not a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Just like the name of a person is not a person.
It's a representation.
It's what Hashem chooses to reveal to us. Hashem chooses to reveal to us something, and he's revealing to us the meaning of the word Yidkei Vavkei. Yidkei Vavkei has a meaning. The Yud has a meaning, the Hey has a meaning, the Vav has a meaning, the other has a meaning. And all the letters together, specifically in that order, has a meaning. That's what Kadosh Baruch Hu is revealing. Kadosh Baruch Hu, what Hashem is, what Hashem, the essence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, what our Kadosh Baruch Hu inherently is, no one's ever seen that. We don't have access to that. All we have access to is what a Kadosh Baruch Hu has chosen to reveal of himself. And we could do a great deal with that. You know, some of the Havdol, more than a quadrillion, you know, quadrillions of Havdolas. Yeah, someone once, you know, I have friends that they're my friends on Facebook. I haven't seen them in 30 years. I probably won't see them in 30 years. But they're my friends. No, they're real friends that I haven't seen in 30 years. They're friends from when I was 20. And every once in a while I run into them and they poke fun at me.
They poke?
Fun. They don't poke. They poke fun at me.
They poke on Facebook?
No, nobody pokes me. I don't poke, they don't poke.
There's a pacifist.
And so more than once someone told me, ever since you became my friend on Facebook, you said, now I know everything that you're up to. I know all about you. And I correct them. I said, you just know what I choose to let you know. You don't know anything about me. You know what I choose to tell you. And that's not me. I'm saying, Lahavdol, Elif Alfi Havdolas. We know nothing, absolutely nothing about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We know a lot about what he chooses to reveal to us. But we don't know, that's it. Hashem chose to, we have no idea. We don't know if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is compassionate. We have no idea. We know that he displays compassion. And we know that he wants to display compassion. It, we do know. We know what Hashem wants. Hashem wants us to perceive him as compassionate. And that's as far as it goes. Is Hashem compassionate? Is he not? We have no idea. We don't know the answer to that question. So, you know, there's certain things we know, there's certain things we'll never know in this world, in this existence, in this lifetime, in our existence as a goof. We will not know. We don't have access to it. Hashem chooses to display compassion. Is he compassionate or not? We don't know. Another thing we know that it doesn't matter whether Hashem is compassionate or not. Kadosh Baruch Hu is Shalom and he's not missing anything. So let's go on the one hand, on the other hand here. If a Kadosh Baruch Hu really is compassionate, so then part of being Shalom is to be compassionate. If a Kadosh Baruch Hu is not compassionate, so then there's no chasar in a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Whatever Hashem needs to be Shalom, he has. It's not dependent on anything. Kadosh Baruch Hu is bechwaidi be'atzma, he's Shalom, he's betachas, Hashem is. And we don't know what he really is. We don't know what he inherently is, but whatever he is, he's not missing anything. That's a true statement. Whatever he is, he's not missing anything. So if you need Rachmanis in order to be Shalem, then he is, but we have no idea. It could be the definition of Shlemus is without being a Rachman. We don't know. We just don't know. But Kadosh Baruch Hu created Yudkei Vavkei. Yudkei Vavkei is the first of all the Shemas. It's the Shem Ha Mefarish, the Shem Ha Meyuchid. It has a different status than any other name of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It has a Kedusha Rifnei Atzma. It's the only name of a Kadosh Baruch Hu you know how to pronounce. And the Shem of a Kadosh Baruch Hu is Kadosh Baruch Hu decided to reveal something to us, and the letters Yud Kei Vav Kei in that order, if we truly understand what they mean, that's what Hashem chose to reveal to us. So Kadosh Baruch Hu created a world, Pashut, or play hide and seek. He created a world which seemingly runs by itself. It's a world that doesn't seem to need constant supervision. It doesn't seem to need constant interaction. It doesn't seem to need a guiding hand. It's autopilot. And then, if you dig deeper, we have access to discovering that not only is the world not on autopilot, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly granting existence to the world. It's being refreshed at all time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making a conscious decision every single instant to recreate the world. And there's no guarantee from one instant to the next that the world, in order for the world to go from one instant to the next, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to have another Ratzon, express another Ratzon, and another Ratzon, and another Ratzon, and another Ratzon. The Kadosh Baruch Hu has to constantly express his will that the world should continue to exist. And it's constantly being reinforced, which is the exact opposite of the way things look. When someone wants to ask the Kasha, how is memory Shayat? We're constantly being recreated. There should be no such thing as memory. The fact that a human being has a memory means that he was created, and it's a one-time thing. You created on your birthday. It's a one-time thing, and then once you're created, you're here, and you continue to exist because you were created. You were created 50-something years ago, and then you created them, and then you continue, and that's why you could have memories, because the same person that you are at 54, you were when you were 9 and 8, so you have memories. That's just the way things appear. But the truth is, every single person in the entire world, and every single animal, and vegetable, and mineral, and cup of tea, is one instant old. Nothing ever gets older than that. Because after one instant, it should go back to nothingness. And then HaKadosh Baruch expresses his ratzon that it should continue for another instant. And after that instant, it should revert to nothingness. And HaKadosh Baruch has another ratzon that it should continue for another instant. So every single thing in this world, everything, a blade of grass, a cloud, the Milky Way, people, are one instant old. And that's the pella of the Kach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to hide himself, is that he recreates the person, as we're talking about people. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu recreates the person, and when he recreates the person, he recreates him with all that he possessed before. So Hashem creates a person, he's 19 years old and one instant. And then he recreates him, he's 19 years old and two instants. And 19 years old and three instants. And 19 and four instants. And when Hashem recreates him, he recreates him as a person of 19 and three instants. And then the next instance, he creates him as a person of 19 and four instants. That Kadosh Baruch Hu takes all the halakim from the persons of Avar, which are no longer here anymore, and recreates that and brings that back. And every time, every instant that Kadosh Baruch Hu is recreating the person, he's doing a tchiyas amesim on the whole past of the person. So it's not really memory at all, because at that every instant, Hashem is recreating your past and present. It's mavol rain. It's beyond the ability of human being to comprehend. That the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is recreating a person's past every instant, not just the present. And that's why you have memory, because Hashem is creating a person with a memory. When Hashem recreates the person, he creates a... I mean, this is Rachmanot, this is Mahavdil, this is in the area of science fiction. That a human life form could be created and implanted with false memories. That if a life form that's created, it actually has memories of things that never happened. I mean, it's science fiction. I mean, they've never done it. They've never succeeded in doing it. And they never will. They never will. Science fiction, they view the brain as some electrical component. They view the brain as some kind of mechanical device with connections and wires and electricity. And there is electricity inside of a person. And nerve activity and brain synapses. And just like you could program a computer, you should be able to program a brain. Well, they're missing out on the entirety of a Tzelem Elokim. They're missing the entirety of a Tzelem Elokim. But Lahavdil El Vavim does, because Boko creates every Chadish, B'tuvah, B'chol, Yom, Tam, and Maisa, Vreshis, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is recreating everything in the world every instant. When Hashem recreates it, he recreates it with all of its avar. So in truth, you're not really remembering your past. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just restoring, it's not, you know, Hashem was mechadish you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with that, HaKadosh was mechadish with you, everything that the previous you experienced. It's to be tight for such a thing is impossible. It's too big. So Yudke Vavke has four letters to it. When the sheresh of Yitke Vavke is Haya Haiva Viyem Havas Akel. Apid Shulchan Aruch, that's the kavana that one has when you say Yitke Vavke, is the kavana is Haya Haiva Viyem Havas Akel. The Haya doesn't mean he was and he is and he will be. If you think it means he was and he is and he will be, then you're confining God to time. He was in the past, he is in the present, he will be in the future. So that means that God is writing the timeline. God doesn't write the timeline. God existed before there was such a thing as time. To say on God, he existed in the past, he exists in the present, he'll exist in the future, means that God functions in the past and in the present and in the future. God's above time. There's no such thing as time in God's reality. God just is. There is no past and present and future. God is. So what does Hayahayviyah mean? Hayahayviyah means that God is the source of the past, God is the source of the present, and God is the source of the future. That's Hayahayviyah. The past comes from God. And like we said, God sustains the past. Even after it's past, it's still here. I'll give you a muscle. Some people think that Tchias HaMeisim is that a person lives out his life in this year for 120 years. And then he dies. And then Mashiach comes, builds a Bais HaMikdash, then Tchias HaMeisim, and the person pops out of the grave. He's got to get new threads. His suit is way out of style. He's still got thick ties or something like that. He's got to get some. Yeah. And then he goes to the store, he takes a shower probably after all those years, gets a nice suit. And then he continues to live, and now his next birthday will be 121, and the next one's 122, and the next one's 123, and the person lives and keeps going. And what happens after that, nobody knows, so no one knows that. And that's a misconception. That's not what Tchias HaMeisim is. First, you have to get straight. This world is our world. There's nothing. This is our world. This is our chance. This is our reality. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us time. And it's our choice what to do with the time. There was once a lawyer. He died. He went to heaven. And he was like 23 years old. He died. He went to heaven. He had a heart attack. He was gestorben. And he goes up to heaven and he sees that it's written down in heaven he's supposed to live till he's 83. So he says, what's up with this? He's only 23 years old. Why did he die when he's 23 years old? Stay thought, and it says in heaven he's supposed to live till he's 83. He lost 60 years of his life. So they said, okay, we'll check it out. And they came back and says, you're a lawyer. It's written down, you're supposed to live till 83, but we made the cheshbon according to the hours billed. The hours he billed, because lawyers, when they take on a project, so they put in 2 hours, but they write down 100, you know, and they bill for them 100 hours. They didn't. Hours billed. Taka was a mistake. They didn't realize. I don't know. But somebody obviously came to tell the story. Others wouldn't know the story.
Well, see, they sent him back. He won the case.
Taka. So Kadosh Baruch Hu gives a person 120 years. And during those 120 years, we're supposed to use the time profitably. You're supposed to spend all that time making the right choices. We're constantly faced with choices. And if we make the right choices, we use the time profitably. And that time is stored away. In this world, that time is past. It's avar. In this world, that time disappears. There's no such thing as time travel. You can't travel to the past, to the past, and you cannot travel back to the future. But again, according to our perceptions, what's past is dead. The only thing that exists is the present. The future is yet to be. That's the song, Kay, Sarah, Sarah. Whatever will be, will be. The future is not ours to see. Kay, Sarah, Sarah. The song. So the future is not here yet, isn't arrived. The past is dead, it's gone. And we have the present. And that's the way it appears to us. The past is dead. It's past. It's gone. There's no significance to the past. It's not relevant. And that's the way it appears to us. That's sheker. It's false. Anything in this world that was done, a maisa, a dibor, machshava, anything in this world, a thought, a word, an action, an accomplishment. It was done by a bechira l'tayva, by someone making the right choice, never dies. It lasts forever. It just disappears. We don't see it. It goes into hiding. Time that's wasted. I'm sure you've heard the expression, to kill time. And there's a lot of truth to that. Time that's used and spent in meaningless pursuits.
Shooting the breeze.
You shoot the breeze. Excellent. You shoot the breeze. Time that's used in meaningless pursuits, or counterproductive, if someone, Rahman Litzlan, uses time for a maisa laitai, for something that's laitai, then there's two avlas. One is they did a maisa laitai, did something aser. And the second thing is, bittel's man. Because man wasn't created to use the time for Dvarim Asurim. He was created to use the time for Ratzon Hashem. So it's bittel's man. So every avera has in it two dimensions. Is it a maisa taiv or a maisa laitaiv? And if it's a maisa laitaiv, besides it being a maisa laitaiv, it's bittel's man. The time is killed, and that time dies. Lasad lavai. The time is chiasamaisim. The person doesn't come out of the grave and continue to live. There's no continuing to live. The only life we're given is the life in this world. What happens after chiasamaisim is that Kadosh Baruch Hu takes all the time that a person spent profitably, which to our eyes it appeared as if it died. And it's no longer. The past is gone. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still Mekayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu still is giving it Kiyam. And he hides it from us. But Lasad Lavai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take out the time. And we're going to relive forever all the moments that we spent profitably in our lifetime. If we made a Siyam and a Masechta, we used our time profitably. And we kept the right. We kept the right with the time. We used every moment. So then we're going to be learning that Masechta forever. But the Rebbe is going to be a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And each time he teaches it to us, we're going to understand it better. And then we're going to learn it again, better. And learn it again, and better. Forever. Eternity, for all eternity, we're going to understand straight from HaKadosh Baruch Hu each time, and the more we learn it again and we understand it better, our simcha and understanding the Dvar Hashem clearly is going to intensify. There is no muscle for the simcha of perpetual wisdom. It's like that's what Ganein is. And every Maisa Taiv, Maisa Chesed, we're going to relive the Maisa Chesed on a different level, again and again and again. You could relive Maisim and get, go deeper into what it is, what Chesed is, and be Mishaber with and be Meitiv, and be Meitiv forever. So that's it. There's some people that... that they, if they use up, if someone uses every moment of his 120 years, I mean, there's someone like Moshe Rabbeinu, so they're living 120 years forever. And there's some people, the opposite of lives, that they're going to be living a few days forever, because you take the sum total of all the worthwhile things that they did in the entire life, and it's reduced to a few days. You make a cheshbon when someone first comes to Eretz Yisrael and they're not ready to do anything yet. Just write down on a piece on a notebook. It doesn't have to have a lot of pages. Does it even have to have pages? How many hours of learning they did the entire year? I was there just all for a year. Well, when you're up the whole night, were you learning? Probably not. And then when you sleep during the whole day, were you learning? Probably not. And the one time out of a week you came to shiur in the first few months. And you're playing with your little gadget over there. Or numerous other things. You learning? Make a cheshbon. Write down how many psukim you learned, how many dafim you learned, how many hours you learned. Come on, little son. So that means that those few minutes are very precious. They'll live on forever. But the other time is dead. So loss of love, it's amazing, is that there's people that are going to be reliving 88 years forever. Better and better and better each time. And there'll be people that will be living 3 minutes. Better and better and better each time.
Days forever or years forever.
Well, you see, more than that, I definitely don't have access to understanding anymore in the way I've said it. We're talking about eternity. I mean, you're about to ask, if it's eternity, what's the difference? So that's why... It's a very weak attempt at trying to explain to you what that is. It's 120 years forever. It's not the same as 3 minutes forever. You're reliving the same 3 minutes forever. And there's someone else that's reliving the 120 years forever. It's not the same. They're both eternity, but... one is more eternity than the other. Play a high vivia. Mahavisakal. So Kadosh Baruch Hashem Melech, Hashem Yimlech Le'olam Vayed, is that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is the source of the past. And Hashem sustains the past. He just hides it. Hashem is constantly sustaining the past. Hashem is giving existence to the past even after it's in the past. Hashem keeps it going. Hashem keeps the past alive to be brought out at the proper time. However, the Kadosh Baruch is constantly reinforcing the present. Every moment we're constantly being recreated. And yet in the future, to us, the future has yet to be, but the Kadosh Baruch Hu, there's no difference between past and future. The future was also being sustained by Kadosh Baruch Hu. We just haven't seen it yet. That's Hayav Hayav Yeh, Umahav Hazakol. Umav is a call, the Kodesh Baruch Hu constantly reinforces everything. And that's the Kavani here in Kriya Shema. Haya, haya, v'yam, ha'av is a call. The other shamus of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, for example. Shem Elokim. Shem Elokim is associated with justice, din. Hashem Elokim is a Kadosh Baruch Hu, deals with the world as a judge. Hashem created the world, and it's created, and it has its own existed. The world was created 5,766 years ago, and once it was created, it exists unless someone comes along to destroy it. But if Hashem decides Bechan Lasai, in his compassion not to destroy it, so he created 5,766 years ago, and it's going to continue going until something happens to stop it, which means that it's a fact. Existence is a fact. So the Shem Elokim, the Kadosh Baruch Hu created a Gilui, that Gilui, it's revealed to us that once the world's created, it exists on its own. It doesn't have to be constantly recreated. The Gila of Shem Elokim is the opposite of the Gila of Shem Yudke Vavke. It's the opposite. Because the Gila of Yudke Vavke is that the world has no continued existence. It exists for the moment. The Kadosh Baruch Hu has to be geyser to decree that another moment's going to be created and another moment's going to be created, so there's no guarantee. We exist for the moment. The next moment is not there yet. It's not guaranteed. For all we know, we exist now. In one moment, none of us will be here anymore. There's no guarantee. We're not talking about living and dying. We're talking about just being. There's no guarantee. But the Shem Elokim is a different way of relating to God. God created us, we have a chazaka, Yichata, Musa chazaka doesn't make sense if you view through the lens of Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei. A guy has a wife, he goes away, she doesn't hear from him. So she's an Ashes Kayan, she can still eat truma. Maybe he died, but he has a chazakas Kayan. How can you have a chazakas Kayan if every moment the Kadosh Baruch has to make a new decision that you're going to exist? All the Dinei Torah, the Dinei Chazaka, are based on if you were here, you're going to continue to be here. That's Shem Elokim. That's a layer.
How does that correspond to Din?
Because Din means that there's nothing in existence that's here by accident. Din means if something is here, it's chayiv to be here. Din does not have in it the perspective of chesed, of kindness, of sustaining something for nothing. Din means if you're here, then you must be here. It's impossible for you not to be here. And the raya to that is because you're here. That's the right. Din is very unforgiving. The perspective of Din is if you're here, then there's a force. You're not just here because you happen to be here. You're here because you must be here. Now, if you're here because you must be here, then it's inconceivable for you not to be here. That's the way most people look at themselves as irreplaceable, indispensable. Now you could take Din to a very ugly place, to an extreme. If I'm here, it must be that I must be here. If I must be here, that means that the world is incapable of being without me. And then you go weiter. That means I'm indispensable. It means if I do something, the thing that I did must be done. Otherwise, I wouldn't have done it. And once I do it, so then doing it is its own justification. It means it's impossible for this not to have been done. Vaharaya did it. If I say something, or think something, or do something, so since it was done, it was said, it was thought, then the world would not be complete without it. And you can take Midas Adin to the absurd that a person makes himself into a god. The name for other gods is Elohim Acherim. And the kavana that one is supposed to have when saying the name Elohim is Baal HaKochos Kulam. Hashem is the Baal HaKochos, which means that there are Kochos. Just the Kadosh Baruch Hu is stronger than those Kochos. And that's the way the world appears. The world appears if there's plenty of Kochos. There's multivariate Kochos. There's a lot of competing Kochos. But the Kadosh Baruch Hu is stronger than all those Kochos. The gematria of Elohim. So what's the gematria of Elohim? Right? It's the gematria of Hateva. What's Hateva?
86.
Hayes 5. And Tess is 9, that's 14. Bays, 16. 86.
Naturally.
Hateva is Elohim. Why? Because the laws of Teva allow ourselves to be blinded. If we're here, we're going to be here forever. We don't need to be constantly reinforced. We're here, so if we're here, we're supposed to be. If we're supposed to be here, we could never not be here. That's the laws of nature. You ask a random person on the street, there must be God. I don't believe in God. So who created the world? It was always here. Go prove. You can't prove it. There's no one around that's old enough to have seen God create the world. It was always here. That's din. If it's here, so then it must be here. And if it must be here, then you can never have a world without it. So it was always here. So the mid of din, the shem Elohim relates to Avodah Zarah. The Chukei Hateva. So you have the Abi Yisaidis. Back to the Abi Yisaidis. Afar. Mayim. Ruach and Eish. So Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world with Yudkei Vavkei. Yudkei Vavkei is a Kadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon that the world should constantly be recreated every moment. And all the other names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the ways that we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they cover over the Gilei of Yud Kei Vav Kei. All of them. There's a name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu called Kael. Kael is Chesed. There's a meat of a Kadosh Baruch Hu called Alf Dal Nun Yud. That's like a Malach. We live with, that's our Gilead, that's our world. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech. He rules over us. We're his loyal subjects. The Midah of Alf Dal Nun Yud, which is the Midah of Malchus, is a covering. Because in that Midah, we can envision ourselves as separate individuals from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu is powerful. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech. And we bow down to him. If we can envision ourselves, if we could view ourselves, and we bow down to him, that means there's a him, and there's an us. And we acknowledge he's stronger than us. We acknowledge he's wiser than us. We acknowledge he's more powerful than us. We bow down to him. But there's an us and a him. But there is no us, because we're constantly being recreated every moment. So the Shem Alv Dad Nun Yin is also a blanket. It's a covering. Because through the prism, through the spectacles of the Midah Malchus, we have our own independent existence. We're smart enough to use our own independent existence in the service of someone who's greater than us. So from Yudke Vavke, there's four ways of Gilui. That's why every single thing in this world comes out of one of four categories. There's so many fours. You ever play that car game when you're in a car on a road trip? That you say a number, and then you have to take turns finding something in the Torah or Medrash or Gemara that corresponds with the number. You go back and forth and back and forth until the last guy, the guy that's stumped, loses. So four lashers of gula, four kaisers, four imois, four faces on the kiser covered, four legs on the kiser covered, four, and eventually you run out,
I think I run out quicker than you.
You did the ABC.
Yeah,
they're
funny.
The letters.
Seven, do sevens, seven rakias.
12
colors. 12
markers.
One
is a show. That's what you do. Everything in this world is fours, because Hashem created the world with Yudke Vavke. Yudke Vavke has four letters. And those four letters are the source of, anything that came afterwards came as, the Yud. So right now we're discussing Eish Mayim Ruach HaNafer. So let's discuss Eish Mayim Ruach HaNafer. The letter Yud doesn't really, it's the smallest of all letters. Because I'll say that no matter what you do to it, a Yud, if you chip away at it, as long as there's the smallest particle of it left, it's still a Yud. If you take a hay and you knock out the one in the feet, it becomes a dollar. And you knock out part of it, can become a vav. The hey, you chop away at it, so it could change into a different letter. But the yud, no matter what you do to it, it's always going to be a yud. You can't affect the yud. You can't affect the yud, you can't change the yud. You can make from a big yud to a small yud, but it's always going to be a yud. Another thing about yud. A yud activates a verb. You have the word Shamar, Shin Mem Resh. Shin Mem Resh is God. You put the Yud there, it's Yishmar. Yishmar means that in the future, at some point in the future, this thing is going to come and guide. It's not going to just sit here and do nothing. Yishmar, you will, in the future. So the Yud represents coming out of itself and changing something else. That's what Yuds do. Indicative, that's what Yud does. Yishmar means that the letters Shin Mem Resh are going to mean that that someone at some point is going to guard something else. Ya'aseh, yishmor, yishachpel. That means to copy a key. Yishachpel. Funny word. Yishachpel. So what do you, so that means to, you know, in other words, a yid represents being mashpia but not being mekabel. You can't be mashpia on the yid could be mashpia on you. I mean, these are adequate examples. So that's fire. Fire, you can't impact fire, you can't shape fire, you can't change it into something else. Can't change fire into anything else. You can't train fire. You can't. Fire resists the ability of anyone to change it or alter it or shape it or influence it. It is what it is. You can't do anything to it. You can't change fire into something else. It's impossible. You can't put fire in a mold. What does fire do? It destroys anything else. Anything that comes in contact with fire, it works. It affects outside of itself. So the letter Yud is Hashem created the world. In the world, there's a kayach that you're not influenced, but you can influence others. It's a very important kayach, and that kayach is called Eish. Now Eish is a fire, but it's also a midah. I'm just saying it's a midah. It's a midah called Eish. It's a midah called. There are people like this. You can't. You can talk to them till you're blue in the face. You're not going to change them. You will not budge them. They're impervious. They're immune. But they change the whole, they go out and change the whole world. I mean, it's a good meter when used properly. It can be used improperly. When it's used properly, it's a good meter. But nothing's wrong. People that they're matzliach and kiruv. They need a very high dose of this midah. That they should go out and be mashpia, but they shouldn't be mashpa. The minute you're mashpa, you should get out of business. She can't stay in kira if you're mashpa. The minute, what? So you have no heter. The minute, you know, the ones you're trying to lift up start pulling you down, that you're going to be like them, it's time to get out. That's why I was, what's a hay? Oh, it's a hay in Dictuk. Is it takes a word and changes it from Lashon Zachar to Lashon Nekeva. Except by numbers. Those of you that learn Kedusha know that. The numbers, you know, from 3 to 10. 3 to 10. But otherwise, the tafkid of a hey is to change something from Zachar to Nekeva. He guarded as Hushamar. She guarded as Hishamra. He's Makabal. The tsura of the hay. The hay has a makam inside of it. You can go into a hay. You can't go into a yid. But you can go into a hay. That's the Gemara. The Gemara says that the world, this world's like a hay. That you're in the hay, and if someone doesn't deserve to stay there, he could fall through the bottom and leave the world. But if he wants to come back, there's another hole towards the top. He can come back in. So Kashi is, why can't he come in the same way he goes out? Because the only way to be a Baal Tshuva is to have a new mahalach. You can't be the same person and do tshuva. You have to become a totally new person. You need a new hole to come in. So hay represents this world. Hay represents tshuva. Hay represents a lot of things. And the hay represents being mekabel, because the tzura of the hay is that there's a place to enter into the tzura. It's like a room. Hay is a room. And hay also represents Lashon Nekeva, and a woman is a mekabel. The nature of a woman is to be a mekabel. So water is the biggest macabre in the entire world. We just went to a store. We went to IKEA for the first time. And I was determined not to spend money there. Very little money, if anything. And there's one thing that caught my eye. It's an ice cube tray that makes fishy ice cubes. And we're saving it for Adar, so we could have Mazel Dagim ice cubes during Adar. We have another ice cube tray that it produces heart-shaped ice cubes, very nice ones. And we use it for Pesach, the Kashal Pesach ice cube trays. They only come out in Pesach. And there are Shir HaShirim ice cube trays. Shir HaShirim ice cubes. Because you learn Shir HaShirim during Chol HaMoed Pesach. And Shir HaShirim is the love song between the Kaddish Baruch and his people. So we have Shir HaShirim ice cubes. So Mishim, I hope to get a whole collection. But that's the beauty of ice cube trays. Whatever the shape of the tray is, the water, you put the water in there, and it's fishy. It's water in the shape of a fish. If you empty out the ice cube tray before it's frozen, and then you put it into the hard ice cube tray, you have Shir HaShirim ice cubes. Water is the biggest macabre. Whatever you want to do with water, it's just no resistance whatsoever. Just whatever shape, whatever you want to pour me out, you want to throw me up, throw me down, put me in this shape. Water is the biggest macabre. So there's water. Kadosh Baruch Hu did create actual water, but Kadosh Baruch Hu created a mida of water that means to be a macabre. Stop! Don't try and thrust yourself on somebody else. You should learn. Ezu Achacham Alaymid Mikaladim. That's the meat of water. Allow other people to make an impact on you. It's a meat which can be abused, of course. It's a meat of water. The Vav in Diktuk is Mechaber. When you want to say Reuven and Shimon went up the hill to fetch a bucket of water, so you say Reuven v'Shimon alu ala hill to fetch a bucket of water. So you say Reuven v'Shimon. So what does the Vav do? It connects Reuven to Shimon. So it doesn't, Reuven's over there, Shimon's over there, and the Vav goes back and forth between the two of them and connects them. Of all the elements, there's only one element that's constantly going from one place to the next. And that's wind. Like, fire could move from one place to the next. It could also be in one place. Water could move from one place to the next. It could be in one place. But wind has to go from one place to the next. If wind does not go from one place to the next, it's not wind. Okay? Wind is defined by its movement. If it doesn't move, it's not wind. There's no such thing as a stagnant wind. A stagnant wind is not wind at all. So you have wind that was in the east and it goes to the west and then it connects east to west because the eastern wind came to the west or the west wind came to the east. So wind connects places and that was created by the letter Vav and that created wind. And it's also a mida. It's a mida to put things together. And then you have dirt. Dirt is a macabre. Dirt doesn't do anything. Nothing. No one has ever seen dirt do anything. Dirt lies there. a pile of dirt lies there just like a pile of dirt. A pile of dirt is very much like a pile of dirt.
A cup of dirt,
a pile of dirt. It doesn't do anything. When someone comes along and wants to do something to the pile of dirt, wondrous things could happen. You put a seed in there, you put water in there, wondrous things. It does nothing. It's a macabre. It's not the same macabre as water. It's a macabre. It's dirt. So that's the Hayach Reina. Yitke Vavke is the Arba Yisaitis. The Yid is Esh. The first Hay is Mayim. The Vav is Wind, is Ruach. And the fourth hay, second hay, is Afar. Which next week we can go into it in depth. This is just the Hakdama.
Just last week, I was like,